It's just wonderful to see these kids here. And as they were singing, I was praying that every one of them will grow up to come to know the Lord. And that's our desire. And we are grateful that you have them here to be part of God's family and to be surrounded by God's word. Acts 4:12 tells us, it says, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. And they quoted from Isaiah chapter 9, which talks about the names of Jesus, and we're going to talk about those. And it's interesting in those names that when Jesus is predicted and his character is described by these names, they're all compound names. I guess one name, like we usually have one name. A few of us have two names, but most of us have one name, but one name is not enough to describe who Christ is. Most of us have names, we don't know what they mean. You know, I got a list of just a few that I brought out here. Asa, my son, means healer. I don't even know if he knew that. I looked that one up. I did know what Isaac was named when I named him. That means laughter. Everybody who reads the Bible knows that one. Aaron means light bearer. Madeline means high tower. In other words, you are a secure refuge for people to be in. Gabe comes from Gabriel, of course, and that means God is my strength. That's a good name, isn't it? God is my strength. Patrick means noble one. That's good. Eli means God is on high. A lot of Hebrew names in there. This one's a Greek one. Alexander means defender of men. Alina means shining light. Layla means dark-haired beauty. Laura means honor or victory. Cash means cash. Okay. Cash means money. Well, I hope you have some when you grow up. And of course, angel means angel or messenger from God. And it's kind of interesting, a lot of times we just name a name, but in the Bible, names are given because they represent the character of the person and define what is their life. Like angel, a messenger from God, your name would mean that you will be a messenger to people of God. That's a cool name, isn't it? That's a cool name. I was interested when I went to Uganda how they're so different with their names. Like in the Bible, if something happens to someone in Uganda, they just change their name. They don't have to go down to the courthouse or anything like that. They just start calling themselves by something different. That's their new name. Many of you know Makumbi, who comes here all the time. He changed his name when he became a Christian. In the Bible, a lot of people changed their names to represent who they were. And so when we look at the names of Jesus, we are looking at what the Bible describes, who he is, and what his character is. We're just going to look at this one verse today. It says, for unto us a child is born. Now I want you to notice, it doesn't say, from us a child is born, but to us a child is born. And that, of course, is because Jesus was not the product of a human birth. It was a supernatural birth. The Holy Spirit came and God's seed was put in Mary. And he was not a human being as the rest of us are. He was born and he lived inside that human body, fully human, experiencing everything that we did so that he could be in contact with us in a way that we could understand. And yet, he was fully God at the same time. To us, it continues and says, a son is given. God loved the world so much that he gave his only son. And Jesus Christ came on this earth because even though we were created by God, as soon as we had life breathed into us, from that very moment we became aware of ourselves and all God created. And our attention from birth is on ourselves and all God created and what we think we need to be happy. You can see that in a newborn baby. Unfortunately, you can still see it in a 99-year-old person. We see ourselves. We see the things God made. And it is so easy for us, as a matter of fact, it's human nature for us to immediately put our eyes on all the things we want and turn our back on the God who created them all. And because we turned our back on Him and loved the creation rather than the Creator, we separated ourselves from Him. And that's what the Bible calls being lost. The Creator of the universe made us. He breathed life into us. He put us on this earth for a purpose. He wants a relationship with us to walk through life with us. And we don't care. We've got too many other things to go. We don't have time to seek Him. And we go off and we're lost. But God so loved the world that He sent His only Son. He came and that Word became flesh. All that expresses who He is became flesh. And it was given to us that we might be able to be forgiven, to have that door open to us, all of our sins wiped away, and to become part of God's family. Because that's what we're created to be. Part of God's family. And the government will be on His shoulders. It's always about the kingdom of God. All of the good news of Jesus Christ, all of the Bible is about the two kingdoms. The kingdom of darkness, in which we cannot see anything but the things in this world we desire. We can't see God. We don't feel God. We don't want God. We want whatever we think will make us feel good at the moment. Or make us important. Or make our lives meaningful. And we can't see that God is the one that gives our life meaning. That God is the only one who knows what our hearts really desire. That God is the only one that can bring the joy and the peace that we seek. And so we're either in that kingdom of darkness, imprisoned by our own desires, or we're in the kingdom of light, where all of a sudden we see who God is and we realize that He is the answer to all we seek, and that when our lives are joined to Him, He provides and makes everything fall together because He created us for a purpose. And when we are in line with Him, His purposes unfold. So it's about Him ruling or governing our lives, bringing us out of darkness where we can't see Him, into the light where we see and appreciate Him for who He is. And He will be called Wonderful Counselor. There's a lot of counselors. As a matter of fact, there are more counselors now than there have ever been. There are more people who pay to be counseled now than there have ever been. And the difference between human counseling and God's counseling is expressed very well in the King James Version of the proverb that says this: the fool, that's a person who's in darkness and doesn't know what he should be doing, the fool has no desire for understanding. He only wants to discover his own heart. And most of the counsel we get is about, who am I? What is it inside of me that's keeping me from being what I want or keeping me from doing what I want? Help me discover who I am so that I can find peace in life. Well, let me tell you, that's darkness. The Bible tells us that we need to look and see who God is. And when we see who God is, we see ourselves completely differently. And when we see ourselves as God's children, as God's servants, then everything that motivates us, everything we desire, everything that imprisons us is gone. And we discover in Him who we are. And we find all the things God wants for us: love, joy, peace, even self-control. It's found in the Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. You know, it's amazing to me how human nature makes us want to look at Jesus like this. We think of Jesus as a small child. It's been so long since I held one, I'm probably not doing it right. Or we think of Him as a man. But Jesus Christ limited Himself. He humbled Himself. He took on the form of flesh, even though He was God. He lived a life so that we could understand how to live in connection with God. He died on the cross to pay for our sins, to show us that no matter how much we have ignored or rejected God, He loves us. And He will do whatever it takes to open the door for us to come to Him if we choose from the free will He gave us to come into His kingdom. He opened that door for us because He is the all-powerful, almighty God that can change even our own hearts. He can wipe away our sins, and He can redeem or rebuild our lives. I know many of you in this room have been in a place where I have been, where you looked at the mistakes and the decisions you'd made, and you thought nothing could redeem my life. Nothing could fix what I have done. But God can, because He is the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father, or the Father of eternity. He's the Father forever. He is the one who opens up to us everlasting life, which simply means this, that rather than having everlasting death or everlasting separation from God, everlasting darkness, everlasting loneliness, everlasting relying on myself and my understanding and my resources to somehow in this huge universe be able to find what I need, He brings us from all of that into an everlasting connection with Him, the God of the universe, who knows my every desire, who understands exactly why He made me the way He did to fulfill every purpose He has in me and make my life meaningful through eternity, through the legacy He lives through me as part of His work. He is the everlasting Father, and He is the Prince of Peace. He rules over peace. There is no peace for the wicked. Like the churning of the ocean, we may have peace for a moment, but those winds are going to blow and all of the things, all the dirt of our life will be stirred up. And there is no lasting peace outside of Christ. But Jesus Christ brings peace inside of us. He brings peace with God. He brings peace with others, and He will eventually bring peace on all of the earth. But He waits until as many as can will enter His kingdom. Sometimes it amazes us the patience that God has. I think He has much more patience than we do. He looks at the souls of the people who are lost and in darkness, and He doesn't want to close the door quite yet. Isn't that amazing? At some point, the door will be closed. At some point, the evil that is in the world, the manipulation, the using, the self-centeredness, all the things that destroy the dreams that we have and we don't even understand, we're destroying them until it's too late. At some time, all of that will end. But God waits for us, for you, to enter His kingdom. And He comes in the form of a little baby. He lives a sinless life, and He dies on the cross to pay for our sins, to know that His love is far greater than anything else on earth. He is our inheritance. He is our treasure. And He is the one that we give our lives to. It's interesting how we phrase things, because we seem to phrase things in the context of being about us. Do you ever notice that? Everything, even church, even religion is about us. And we pray and we ask Jesus to come into our hearts and to change our lives. And He does that. That's a byproduct. But the invitation of the Bible is this: God asks us to come into His kingdom. And when we come into His kingdom, He fills us. When we open our wills and our lives to Him, all that He desires for us, all that He hopes for us, all He dreams for us, it becomes reality in our lives. When we enter His kingdom, we become His children. But he loves us enough to give us free will. If we refuse to come to him, if we refuse to enter his kingdom, if our hearts are gripped with self-centeredness and self-absorption, God can't come into our lives. Because the direction we're going and the things that we want and the things that we desire are opposite of his will. And so we come to a time here as our kids have sung about the light and as they've shown us the goodness that God has put in each created being. We come in that time where God asks us to enter into his kingdom. So let's pray together. Father, when we stop and think about how great you are, we don't even know what to say. And Lord, we ask you to forgive us because we move our hearts and our lives so quickly. How could we not stop and realize what a precious gift life is? To understand how great you are and what you desire for us and how you understand all things when we don't. How could we ignore you? How could we push you out of the way? How could we run after things that experiences already showed us cannot fulfill us, and yet we run after it and run after it and run after it and have no time for you? Forgive us, Lord. And we thank you that you open our hearts and eyes and give us a glimpse that you're here with us, that you love us, that you want us, and that you came to this earth and died on that cross that we, no matter what we've done or what we've said or what we've thought, we can be cleansed and come into an everlasting love relationship with you. The God with whom all things are possible. And so, Lord, we do give our lives to you. We give our hearts to you. We ask you to enable us to come into your kingdom, to give us the wisdom and the understanding to know and to seek you. And we ask you to come into our hearts and fill us with your love and with your power to be able to become the people you created us to be. We are yours. And we bow before you and we acknowledge that. We thank you that you have saved us and that you redeem us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.